Femmes, le podcast de Forum Opéra consacré aux femmes. Pour ce second numéro de Femmes, nous sommes à la Monnaie, dans la salle des chœurs, et nous retrouvons Barbara Hannigan. Barbara Hannigan vient de chanter à la Monnaie 5 représentations de Passion, l'opéra de Pascal du Sapin, et elle répète en même temps sa première Loulou. Barbara Hannigan, répondez-nous en anglais si vous le souhaitez, en cours d'interview, mais à quel moment est-ce que vous avez découvert la musique contemporaine ?
Au même temps que je découvris la musique classique. Et peut-être... alors, j'ai pas les préjudices. J'ai pas
les préjugés.
Oui, préjugés, oui. J'ai pas les idées stéréotypiques.
Oui, tout à fait.
Ouais. Et j'avais beaucoup de curiosité. Et pour moi, c'est normal. C'est la curiosité, l'architecture les sons, de les harmoniques. J'ai un talent pour mon oreille. C'était très très bon, mais aussi. J'aime les aventures, c'est une aventure. Et c'est pour avoir l'opportunité de créer quelque chose. Aussi, ça me donne confidence.
La confiance.
Oui, la confiance, oui. Parce que peut-être j'étais avoir un peu d'intimidation de les choses... européenne ou de les choses classiques qu'il y a en que la tradition parce que j'étais pas dans la tradition. Peut-être c'est parce que
la musique contemporaine, vous la rencontrez quand? Pendant vos études au conservatoire ou avant?
Non, pendant mes études au conservatoire. J'ai laissé ma famille, ma maison quand j'avais 17 ans et aller à Toronto au centre du Canada. Et là, c'est où j'ai commencé à travailler avec les compositeurs. Et en même temps, chante Mozart et Handel et Bach et les autres choses qu'une jeune cantatrice doit étudier et chanter.
Est-ce qu'aujourd'hui, vous avez l'impression qu'on vous utilise plus que pour la musique contemporaine?
Oh non. Non, l'année passée, j'ai chanté beaucoup de Mozart et Duparc et chansons.
Quand on va sur votre site internet maintenant et qu'on regarde vos prochains projets, c'est Schoenberg, c'est
Benjamin. Oui, mais aussi, il y a Mozart. Cette année, je vais chanter le programme aussi avec Mozart. Et, I mean, people always say this to me, but you see, of course you see lots of contemporary music, and you also see, I have a complete French recital program which I toured last year, which I will tour next season. So I feel a little bit like, yeah, it's a combination. And are we going to call Loulou contemporary music?
You've worked with, I would say, the main contemporary composers today, and many of them have composed especially for your voice. Do you feel one of them has really gotten into your voice better than anyone else, written like perfectly for you?
Some composers... I think every composer really thinks that they understand my instrument and they believe that they've written perfectly for me. And I almost never feel like they have. Really never. But I don't care, because they all teach me something about my voice. It's as if they become my singing teachers. So whatever they ask me to do, whether it's not enough virtuosity or whether it's too much, somehow I learn how to find a new path in my voice to do what they wanted me to do.
So it sounds like something ideal.
It is ideal. I mean, it's a great position to be in. I really wouldn't trade it at all. I mean, I got to work with I mean, not all of these people wrote for me, but I worked with Ligeti and Stockhausen and Dutilleux, and then the younger people like Dussapin, Francesconi, Gerald Berry, George Benjamin. I mean, it's incredible that I get to spend my time with these very original and creative people.
What parts does conducting take in your life?
So the conducting started a couple of years ago, and it was because René Bosque, who used to run the Présence Festival of Radio France, he wasn't the only one, but he was one of the people who was insisting that I was somehow leading when I was singing in a very particular way, and that I should try conducting. So it began because he gave me the chance to do it. He even decided that which piece I would conduct, which was the Renard of Stravinsky for four male soloists and chamber ensemble. So he put it all together. And of course it's a risk, but we take risks all the time. I like to take risks all the time. And then what happened after the result of that performance was at the Châtelet in Paris. Then I was asked by various orchestras, not only to conduct them, but to make special programs with them, which is my interest. So it's not only that I am conducting, it is that I'm taking a role of a programmer. I am choosing material. I am making special concert events where I am singing and I am conducting on the same program, where we're basically turning everything on its head. Just as I danced in Pascal Dussapin's opera, no one expects a singer to sing hanging upside down from someone else's neck. It's the same thing a little bit with conducting. Nobody expects the singer to all of a sudden take the reins of the orchestra and start leading, but in my opinion, a good singer does that with her voice anyway. So now I do it with my whole body, with my arms and everything.
At the time when René Bosque came with that idea, did you need to be convinced?
I basically agreed quite quickly. Of course, I was scared, but that wasn't going to stop me. So I didn't think, oh yes, I'll be fantastic at that. I thought, oh my God, this is going to be a very big job. You know, this is going to be a lot of work. And I was certainly right about that. And I mean, I thought, well, you know, many have tried and failed, and maybe I will join the group of people that have tried and failed, and that doesn't make me any less, you know, if that happens. So,
in your career, do you easily get scared?
Well, I think fear can be a very helpful quality. I think we need to be realistic about what we can do, but we also need to be willing to take risks. So I often have people tell me that I seem fearless, when in fact I have fear, and that's probably why I work as hard as I work, because I have the understanding of how difficult it is, these various tasks, the various projects that we take on. I know how difficult it is, and therefore the fear makes me work even harder.
I think it might be interesting for those who haven't seen you conduct and sing at the same time, just to maybe try to explain how you cope with singing and actually conducting the orchestra.
Yeah, I mean, when I do orchestral engagements, usually I plan a program where there are two or three sections of the program where I am singing and conducting at the same time. And then the rest of the program I'm only conducting. So the only conducting is, as one would expect, back to the audience, and I'm leading the orchestra, et cetera, et cetera.
And that's the easy part.
That's, well, it's not so easy, but it has its particular challenges. And then when I'm doing the pieces that I'm singing and conducting, I can do it in several ways. For example, when I sing and lead, let's say, Mozart concert arias, then it's very important that when I'm rehearsing the orchestra, that I'm facing them and that I am little by little I'm very clear at the beginning on what our tempi are, what I'm going to show them, and little by little I take away my cues for them. Mm-hmm. So I take it away until they are as self-sufficient as possible. And then it's only a very small... Then when we give the performance, I have my back to them, but I'm in the nest of the orchestra, so I'm not in front of them, I'm within them. And I can very easily give a look and give a cue without having to literally beat time. I mean, this is Mozart, you know.
Yeah.
It's, if we don't know what tempo we're in and we haven't established a tempo by the third bar, we're never going to get it anyway. And then when I sing and conduct some more difficult pieces, for example, I sing and conduct Ligeti, Mysteries of the Macabre, then I put the orchestra on an angle. And I am also on an angle. So we're not in the traditional setup. It's as if that the orchestra is like a quarter of a piece of pie, and I'm on the other side of the stage. So, and I, because I conduct it from memory, I'm not bound to any music stand, and I'm moving all over the stage as I'm singing so that they can always see me. I'm cueing them from various places. I mean, it's a really theatrical tour de force as well as a musical tour de force, and it's very exciting for them, and it's very fun for me, and the audience always kind of sits there with their mouths open. But so I do have a special setup for the more difficult pieces.
You are obviously a bit too young to consider the end of your singing career, but
yeah.
Would conducting be a good B plan?
Well, at this point, I do get asked that question a lot, and at this point, I'm really, I don't say no to that, but I also feel that right now the only way I see myself conducting is coming in as the musician, as the performing musician, so as the singer coming in with them and working. That I also happen to take the conductor role. I don't really see it going all the way towards conducting, but one never knows.
So you wouldn't consider a program without you as a soloist at this stage?
Absolutely not. Not at this stage. I mean, I want to use my voice. You know, I have an instrument. I'm at the peak of my vocal prowess, and I don't want to spend any time not using my voice. So for sure, if I'm making programs now, I'm always singing at least one piece.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How do you usually prepare a role?
Because
singers who have the ability of reading and understanding very complex scores usually work them by themselves. I find it really interesting.
In fact, I almost always work by myself. I don't work with a coach. It's very rare. I may work with a language coach to make sure that my diction is as good as it can be, especially if I'm going to be doing a recording. But normally when I'm preparing music, the most important opinion at the beginning is my own. And I don't really care what anyone else has to say at that point, not until I get into the rehearsals, and then I'm open to other people's... I think it's that I like to have it all to myself. I like to have the music all to myself. I'm a little bit selfish like that, and I want to become best friends with the score, just me and the score, and nobody else in between. In the case of Lulu, I took a completely different route because I knew this part was so huge, there was no way that I could prepare it alone. So I had heard about a wonderful coach at the Berlin Staatsoper, Marilyn Barnett, and she has been playing Lulu for over 15 years as a co-repetitor, and she's fantastic. And I basically invested in four trips to Berlin of varying lengths, anywhere from 3 to 10 days at a time. And we would work once or twice a day. And she was an angel, an absolute angel for me. And I realized I never could have learned this role without her help. Because you really need someone telling you, here the orchestra is heavy, this is what you're going to hear, this is the these are all the other singers' cues that you need to listen for, and this one is the most important, and this one is not important, and so on. So someone with that kind of experience is necessary, I think, especially for these really heavy, you know, early 20th century, end of the 19th century, early 20th century roles.
But when you're working on a role on your own, mm-hmm. and you are basically making your own universe, mm-hmm. Don't you feel intruded when a conductor and a stage director arrive with their own views on the work?
Well, I don't feel intruded. I do feel sometimes a little bit protective. But, I mean, we have to let ourselves be vulnerable if we're going to collaborate with others. And I have to give my trust to the stage director and to the conductor, and they also need to give their trust to me. So I think we don't always, it's not that I like when one person gives all the orders, myself included. I would much rather have a dialogue and that we find a way together. And that's normally what happens. It's very, very rare that that anyone wants to you know, put down their idea and that no one else is allowed to respond to it. I mean, most of the people I work with are really enjoying that collaborative artistic process.
How do you deal with a conductor who would act in a different way?
If they had a very different opinion, yes. than me? I'm so lucky. I'm working very often with conductors that I, with whom I have had, a longer-term artistic relationship. So it's not very often that I come into an engagement and meet someone for the first time anymore. You know, I'm returning to a certain group of colleagues.
Is that your decision?
Yeah, I think it's also their decision. I mean, you become kind of a regular with certain orchestras and or with certain conductors. And I do carefully choose. So if I did have a negative experience with someone, I would just make sure that I didn't accept anything again. But I can't say that happens, really. I can't think of it, really. Mostly we find a meeting point somewhere in the art, in the music.
Do you think some conductors or directors might get afraid of a singer who has such a strong opinion about music?
If they did, I think they should reconsider that, because it's good to have you can't come in like a blank slate, you know, you can't prepare a role completely blank. I mean, when I'm preparing my music, I'm not only making analysis in a musical way and technical way, I'm also making reference constantly to maybe to a moment in a film or to a painting or to a conversation in my private life or to, to architecture. It could be anything. And so I'm just constantly making associations so that we have many, 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 many levels and sometimes conflicting ways of interpreting every single note, every single phrase. And I think when you bring that into a room, as long as you remain flexible, it really must be a gift.
Do you consider yourself as an intellectual?
I think my strength lies in the fact that I have both a very emotional and a very intellectual approach to things, and they live side by side. So they are equal. I don't come in completely in my head ever. I'm coming very much from the heart. And especially, I think, if you're going to sing difficult contemporary music, you need to have a lot of heart and a lot of emotion, because otherwise the audience will think we're only watching a mathematical formula. And you look at a composer, like one of my favorite all-time composers is George Ligeti. I mean, that's exactly... how he he created. I mean, intellectual and emotional all the time. Very dramatic. You know, incredibly complex scores, but also very, very dramatic.
Thank you. On retrouvera Barbara Hannigan à la Monnaie dans Loulou entre le 14 et le 30 octobre 2012 dans une mise en scène de Christophe Warlikowski sous la direction de Lothar Koenigs. Mais on la retrouvera aussi toujours à la Monnaie, mais cette fois sur le site de la Monnaie, pour le streaming intégral et gratuit de Passion de Pascal Dussapin. Ce sera à partir du 11 septembre jusqu'au 1er octobre 2012.